All right. I was doing this thing that I always do before I make a lesson, which was stalling. And here it is, you know, Monday, Tuesday of last week, and I was still torn between a few different options. So I started thinking, what would be the best way for me to teach to myself? And I thought, between the different topics, and finally settled on something that is important to me and something with which I struggle sometimes. And it's my faith, specifically in how that's geared towards being at work. I work for a company which in my office has about 800 people, and the attitudes are generally pretty secular. You know, we are very alternative lifestyle friendly. We are very religiously diverse, both in people who have beliefs that differ from my own and people who have no beliefs at all. I work in a place that is as culturally just free and open as you could ever want, but that makes it really difficult sometimes to embrace that Christian walk and to be the example that you need to be. So I decided that I was going to teach to myself and hope that maybe you could all get something out of it as well. How do we define faith? One of the many definitions in Webster's dictionary is that faith is the belief and trust in and loyalty to God. Belief and trust and loyalty. I've got the belief thing down pretty pat. The faith as well, that kind of trust. The loyalty thing, though, in the workplace sometimes is really difficult. When you have all these influences that are seemingly in really direct opposition to what you believe. As Christians, though, we have to understand that our time on this earth is basically a pit stop, right? It's a very fleeting, temporary existence as we're journeying towards whatever it is that we think comes next, and wherever it is that we end up next. But as we're kind of these travelers here, we have responsibilities. We have responsibilities in how we conduct ourselves and in our spiritual growth and development, as well as to the people around us. It's actually rather convenient that we were in 1 Peter chapter 2 today. Flip with me over there to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. This is kind of the jumping off point, I suppose you could say, for today's lesson. So from the New King James, 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12 reads like this. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So our responsibilities are to live a just life and then live a life that's a testimony that exalts God in the way that we conduct ourselves and by extension draws others to Him. And one way that we can fulfill our duty is in the workplace. And within the workplace, we've got a couple of different facets. We have our work responsibilities, actually how we conduct our work and how we uphold our end of the employee-employer relationship, and on the other side, how we maintain and build relationships with the people with whom we work. So, what impact should our faith have on these two facets, on how we actually do our work and on the people with whom we work? You know, what effect should it have on us as the workers or as the managers? Some of us may be in direct supervisory capacities, while some of us might be individual contributors, and others may be somewhere in the middle, not necessarily a manager or a supervisor, but someone to whom junior members of staff look to for guidance and advice. And a more appropriate question, should the workplace be somewhere in which we are conducting our evangelizing? Right? That's kind of a loaded question. Paul gives us some general instructions concerning Christians and how we should live our lives in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And it's pretty solid advice. You can read over that at your own leisure, but I'm going to give you the high points. And that's 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12. The four key takeaways are that Christians living in this world should lead a quiet life. They should mind their own business, which is a hard one sometimes. We should work with our own hands. We should, you know, kind of provide for ourselves. And we should walk properly towards the people that are outside us. We should conduct ourselves in a manner that is positive towards people that don't share our faith. Now, what this entails, we can further build on that in a few different scriptures. I've actually got four references here that all pretty well echo one another. So we're going to pick the first one. I already have you in 1 Thessalonians. Ephesians is pretty close to that. Let's do Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to try not to jump you around too terribly much today. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, Paul gives us a little bit of context about how to behave when you are subordinate to someone. Now, this particular passage is geared specifically towards that kind of servant or slave and master dynamic. But it translates pretty readily to today when we have employer and employee relationships. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free." The big point here is that we're supposed to conduct ourselves honestly, fairly, and with zeal, with kind of passion, in everything that we do for our employers, as long as it's not contradictory to what God's teaching. So we'll look at it like this. The guidelines are that we obey those who are over you, unless they ask that you do something that you know is unethical or illegal. You work with respect and with goodwill towards your boss. You work sincerely and you work with vigor to do whatever task it is that's been put in front of you. You know, we're doing an honest day's work, we hope. And we're doing it for that honest day's pay. So you have to make sure you're holding up your end of the bargain. You don't work only when the boss is watching or when you're being observed. This is something that you see, I'm guessing, in most every workplace where someone wants to slack off a little bit when they know that the eyes aren't on them. As Christians, it's our responsibility never to take anything that isn't ours that we haven't earned. And if we're not working hard while we're on the clock, we're not earning that pay. We have to demonstrate that we can be trusted with responsibility. These are all tenets that we can really get behind as Christians because it's essentially living a good, righteous life. Nothing we shouldn't be doing anyways. And then we offer such services that we've talked about briefly just before, not only to good employers, but even to the ones that are unfair. Because in this life, we're not guaranteed to only work for people that are going to be fair to us. But as Christians, we have to be fair back. Now, what about managers? We've talked about how individual contributors, those employees, are to behave, and how we can exemplify our faith in the workplace by doing well in all opportunities. But what about our managers? So still hanging out here in Ephesians 6, let's take a look at verse 9. "And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." We're basically looking at fairness towards the people who are underneath you, not playing favorites, not asking more than is merited from them, and being level-handed all the time. Some of the scriptural guidelines that we get for our managers is we remember that we have a boss in heaven too. We might work our way up, if we're not already in a managerial capacity, to someone who's in charge of people. We have to treat the people underneath us the way we expect God to treat us, which is to be fair and to be kind and to be honest and open. We have to display these attitudes that let people know that we're a little different. We have to treat your employees with honesty and justice. You don't oppress or exploit the people who are underneath you. You don't ask for more than you should. And you don't resort to threatening. I've been in situations at the office where we were threatened with mass firings if we didn't do a certain thing. And barring the fact that that's an HR nightmare, you can tell that that's not coming from someone who walks a Christian walk. "Oh, well, I'm not getting what I want out of you. I'm going to fire all of you if you don't do what I'm asking." And really, there was no asking. It's, "I'm going to fire you all if you don't do what I'm telling you." That's no way to build trust and respect with your employees, and it's no way to build a good reputation for yourself either. And when we come into this world, pretty much the only thing you've got is your reputation, so there's no need to sully that. Managers who rule the way that a Christian should are going to be really highly esteemed by the people that matter, both by those that they manage and those who are above them. Having been an individual contributor for a long time, I can tell you that I'm much more willing to give my best for a manager who treats me well than for someone who wants to crack the whip at every opportunity. And people above my manager love it when they get maximum performance from their individual contributors. It works well on all levels when you treat people the way you should. Oddly enough, that sounds an awful lot like applying the golden rule, right? Which is one of those things that we should all be doing anyways. We treat others the way that we want to be treated in return. So we know how we should behave at work. Now let's tackle this question of, should we be evangelizing at work? We're told that we're to be seeking and saving the lost. We have a variation on the Great Commission at the end of the four Gospels. We know this is the thing that we need to be doing. As workers, we touched on this briefly earlier, honorable service demands a proper day's work for a proper day's wage. So we need to be careful about how we're evangelizing when we're on the clock. Because we are, at the end of the day, there to work. It's a fine line to tread. And following this doctrine of Christ requires that we don't take. And that's kind of that thing that we walk into when, "Oh, hey, I want to evangelize you. I want to tell you about God. And I want to share my faith with you. But I do have responsibilities I'm supposed to be fulfilling." The challenge is to properly balance our efforts to do our jobs and to evangelize. And when it comes right down to it, work isn't exactly the best place to be doing this anyways, because we do have all these other obligations. So instead we focus on building and cultivating those relationships and then taking this outside the workplace. Home Bible studies, inviting someone to worship with you, going out after work to a restaurant or whatever, and spending your time evangelizing there. So our guidelines to govern. Don't forget the power of a good example. More than anything, the words that coming out of your mouth are great, but the actions speak much more loudly. Don't let your speech betray your profession as a Christian. No coarse language. No telling of dirty jokes, no gossiping, no lying, no backbiting, none of those things that are so very easy to fall into. Consider the best use of your time when you're on the clock. Should I really be looking at NPR for an hour when I'm on the clock? Or should I really be shopping on Amazon when I'm on the clock? By the way, these are all things I've done. Should we really be doing all of these things to take away from our employer when we should be working? Consider the best way to evangelize. It's not always going to be on the clock. But we do have a way that we can evangelize through the way that we behave. You might not be able to engage them in a one-on-one Bible study, but you can absolutely lead a life that you can be proud of. To wrap this up, involvement in the workplace is a really great opportunity, but it's also a big responsibility. We have to be able to provide for ourselves and for our families, and we have to be able to serve the Lord through making a positive impact on other people. We have those chances in the workplace. So let your faith be an opportunity to demonstrate the value of living that life of godly servitude and take that opportunity to reach other people. You know, Jesus had this really interesting way of being able to connect with most anyone. You know, it doesn't matter in what station they are in their life. They could be all the way from a tax collector down to a prostitute down to a leper. Jesus could still make those connections. He could still find a way to establish that relationship and tell other people about the things they needed to know. And that's our calling as well. It is our primary job to evangelize and to bring other people to Christ. Sometimes we fall down in that and we don't behave the way we should. Maybe we fall down into the pitfalls that Satan has laid for us where we engage in sinful behavior, or maybe sometimes we just don't perform to the standards that God expects of us. Now is the time when we set aside a little block and we can offer an invitation. We can extend the opportunity to either become a Christian, or if you're already a Christian, to get back on that straight and narrow path. If you're not yet a Christian, you've heard the word. I'm hoping that you'll believe it. You repent, you change that sinful behavior, and you become someone that wants to follow after God. You confess your sinful nature and that you believe that Jesus died to save you from it, and then you're baptized, which is symbolic of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And then you start living that Christian life. If you're already a Christian and you're kind of slacking on that last step, you have an opportunity to ask for prayers and to lay it all out there and to let your Christian family help you. The opportunity is yours and the message is yours. If you feel like you need to act on it, now is the time to do so. I'll be standing and singing.